No, it wasn't July 4th. Obviously, I've been asked many times over the past year, but I didn't really start to focus on it until mid-February, when I decided it would be wise to pause my congressional campaign and really spend some time thinking about it. And I likely would have made a decision earlier if not for the pandemic situation, which then forced me to reassess again, because then I had to think about campaigning for president in this environment. And also, I had to spend time focused on my district, making sure that they were getting the proper relief. So this situation definitely slowed down the process. And over the past couple weeks, I decided that it was an appropriate time to start focusing on it again. And that's when I came to my decision after talking with friends and family and others.
Take me through the challenges and the opportunity with the current landscape, with the pandemic. How is that a help? How is it a hindrance?
Well, it's a challenge, obviously, for our country. We have a health crisis, but it's a challenge in many ways politically as well. We're very focused on one issue, and that issue dominates the headlines and dominates media interviews. So when we're talking about this issue, it's important to think about how we can best help the people. And I focused on that by talking about universal monthly cash payments to the people. As for the campaign and how I can handle it during this crisis where we're asked to stay at home, I think it may give me some advantages over the other candidates who perhaps aren't as adept at this type of campaigning and need to be out on the campaign trail in a way that maybe I don't need to be at this time. I'm just starting out. My name ID is pretty low. I need to introduce myself to the American people. And I have that opportunity by doing a lot of media interviews and talking to journalists and reaching out through video conferencing, whereas the other candidates would have already had a base of support that is much larger. So they can already hold rallies and other things in a way that I can't at this point.
I've known you for a number of years now at the state level, and as you've worked your way up to the national level, you are very calculating in what you do. You research thoroughly. You know the challenge that's ahead as a third-party candidate, right? I mean, you know the statistics here. Gallup finds that roughly 88% of Americans identify with one of the two major parties. Pew Research, very similar, 92%. How do you see a way to break through the partisanship as a third-party candidate?
I wouldn't run if I didn't think I could win, and I believe I can win. I'm very confident about that. When you look at statistics on who votes which way, you find that there aren't as many people as you might expect who are closely tied to the two parties. In other words, the two parties are getting a significant chunk of the vote, but if you talk to people about their loyalties, you might have the two parties down even under a majority of the population who feel very closely tied. I think the largest segment of the population are people who are unaffiliated, people who are independent, people who might vote Republican or Democrat in any year, of course, but who don't feel that strongly about the two parties and certainly don't feel very strongly about Donald Trump or Joe Biden. So there's an opening. But for a campaign outside of these two parties to succeed, you need a candidate who can speak to the people and bring a message to the people that is approachable and welcoming. And I believe I can bring honesty, practicality, and capability to this race in a way that contrasts with these two other candidates and will force people to reflect on our system as the months go on. People will be forced to think about which of these candidates is actually the most capable, the one we would want to be president of the United States, and which one has the right tone and which one has the right approach to policy. And I believe I can win that race over the course of several months.
Of course, you're going to have people out there who say, well, wait a minute, third party, you're going to peel away votes from either Joe Biden or from Donald Trump. There are those never Trumpers out there. I know that you've been labeled as a never Trumper who are disappointed that you're entering the race, who believe you might be interfering and that Donald Trump would win a re-election. What do you say to both sides of that argument?
Well, the math doesn't add up. Nobody can know how people will vote when you add or subtract a candidate from the race. There are hundreds of millions of people. There are too many variables at work. We have infinite variables, essentially, because you have so many people and each one has a different set of preferences. So it's impossible to say how the addition or subtraction of a candidate affects the race. So the most important thing is to have candidates on the ballot and let the people decide. And if people want to vote for a particular person, they vote for that person. And if they don't want to, they don't vote for that person.
There are also some folks in your district who might say, Justin Amash, after he left the Republican Party in July, you lost a lot of Republican support in the district, and that's why you've set out to run for president. Does it have anything to do with district dynamics that would be confronting you coming into this election?
No. In fact, we've polled the district, and we've been raising money in the district up until the point where I stopped in February, and I was out polling the other candidates and out raising the other candidates. I wasn't concerned at all about the prospects of re-election. The people of the district have been very supportive, and I've been really humbled and honored over the past couple of years at the reception I've received as I've developed this greater reputation as an independent, you know, and then finally broke from the party altogether and became an independent. So many people on both sides of the aisle have been very supportive, and there are lots of other people who aren't affiliated with either party who have been very supportive. We found that when we were polling on it, my approval has been stronger than ever over the past year within the district. So there was never a concern about that. The concern I had was that even if I win as an independent, would I affect the system in the way that I feel it needs to be affected? In other words, I'm concerned about the two-party death spiral, the partisan death spiral that we're seeing, and I want to change things for the better in our country. And if I get elected as an independent, will people actually come along, or will people just say it's a peculiarity of our district, that in our district they're willing to elect an independent but nowhere else? So I think a national race for president is the best way to challenge the system, change things, and that's why I'm pursuing it.
The challenge that the country is facing right now, and what you have witnessed firsthand in Washington, what are you learning about society and politics in real time as we are just months away from voting again for president? How have things changed in Washington as far as the landscape goes right now in real time, where your approach might be different from what we're seeing from Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill?
Things are really divided right now, not just in Washington, but in the public. But a lot of the division is caused by a small segment of the population, the people who are most vocal on social media, most vocal at various events. And what you see in Washington now is increasingly a few people at the top controlling the entire system, and other legislators being left out of the process completely, which means that people at home aren't very well represented, because representatives can't even go to Washington and advocate on behalf of their constituents the way they could before. It's really just a few people. I've called it a triumvirate, where you have the president, the speaker, and the Senate majority leader, and they make the decisions for the country. And that's not a good system for our country, and it's not the way the framers intended it, and it's certainly not the way that the people at home would like it to be. So there is an opportunity here to talk about this issue, to spread the message, to give people a better understanding of what's wrong. I think a lot of times when people look at the system, they think what's wrong is Donald Trump, or they think what's wrong is the Democrats, depending on which side of the aisle you're on. I'll hear Republicans say, oh, it's the Democrats. The Democrats want to destroy our country. Or the Democrats will say, oh, it's just Donald Trump. As long as you can get rid of Donald Trump, we're back to good. Everything will be fine. And they're misunderstanding the problem. The problem is this entire dynamic where a few people are deciding everything and everyone else is being left behind. And then what you see as a result of this is things like the coronavirus relief package, where trillions of dollars were spent. And most of the assistance went to people who are well-connected or wealthy. And the people who need the help the most, they were all left behind. And that's not acceptable to me. But the practical approach of providing cash relief to the people, a universal monthly cash payment, the practical approach that would have gotten aid to the people very quickly, that was rejected because the parties are so caught up in catering to particular constituencies. They want to cater to the people on the left or the right who essentially help them at campaign time, fund their campaigns, Sometimes this means organizations, could mean labor unions or farmers, whoever it might be. Other times it might be donors. But whatever the case, they're not concerned about the right things. And benefiting everyone, having a cash payment that goes to everyone, of course, that's super simple and would work great, but it doesn't give you political capital. You don't win any political points on that because everyone was treated the same and nobody goes back to their constituency and says, hey, look at this special thing we got for you. So I want to spend time on the campaign trail talking about this stuff, getting people to recognize what the problem is and getting them to understand that the only way we're going to address it is not by just getting rid of Donald Trump, but by restoring our system of representative government. And Joe Biden is not going to restore that system. Joe Biden will continue the broken system we have. And even if he's not another Donald Trump, there will be another Donald Trump that comes along if we don't right the ship.
So how will you position yourself? If Donald Trump won as a disruptor, how will you position yourself in this race?
Well, as a disruptor of the two-party system and as an advocate for the people, we need to trust the people more. We need to restore people in this process. We have a representative system of government, not a direct democracy. So, of course, we don't have people deciding everything directly by their own votes. We elected officials to use their judgment and represent the people. But now it's so distant from the people, the way it works, that they're not even represented. Not only is it not direct democracy, it's not even a representative system. And in my opinion, representative system is the best system of government. People stay involved, but you also have people who go to Washington and think about these issues carefully and represent you rather than making rash judgments based on popular approval or populism. So we need to restore that system, get back to the right way. And I think that will be something that all Americans appreciate and all Americans benefit from.
U.S. Representative and Libertarian presidential candidate, Justin Amash. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Patrick.